I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my...
Well, what makes that to Jax? I'm Tim Allen. She's Jay-Z on the board. 3 days in a row, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Your voice is almost 100% today.
I know, I'm ready so happy.
Ready for your trip to New York where you can talk a million words with all your young friends.
I hope so.
Oh, God. Lou, we wouldn't want to be there with them, I don't think. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm not a big fan of New York, but I think if you're young and single and have, you know, are just sort of taking the whole thing in for the first time, it's a really interesting place to be. But I got tired of New York real fast on the last couple of trips I was there.
Actually, I always kind of enjoyed it. I found people to be very friendly. It's not a town for the handicapped. As you're coming out of subways, you know, four flights of steps down or eight or wherever they are, half of them. I mean,
I just found it too crowded. I much prefer, notwithstanding my criticisms, I much prefer Chicago if I'm going to go to a really big city. So anyway, it'll be a good trip, and you can't beat New York for things like entertainment venues and shows and things like that.
Well, I like the idea in such a massive city, all your restaurants, or most of them are like, you know, 10, 12 tables.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're all kind of individually owned. You don't see a whole lot of chains, although they've piled in there. And it's, I wish they would have designed it with some alleys. The garbage in the street kind of gets old, but...
Well, that's part of the issue that I had there. But, you know, there are lots of interesting things to see there, and I always make a point of hitting at least one of the big museums while I'm there.
And, I hope so.
The Museum of Natural History or MoMA or some of the others. It's worth going. So good. Enjoy the trip. How long are you going to be there?
I'm leaving at 5, and I'll be there till like late Sunday night.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, enjoy and come back with interesting stories. And
always.
You know, don't,
it's all
don't,
about the story.
Yeah, it's all about the story. It's all about the story. So, Lou, SP Futures are up 4, Dow Futures up 28, and NASDAQ Futures up 22. We sunk pretty good yesterday, sort of in the afternoon, I guess, as the Fed, Jay Powell, was talking, but I'm not so sure there's a cause and effect there. It's just we slid. You know, there's all kinds of news. We have to... President can't shut his mouth no matter what he does. Now he's mad about the raising interest rates. Where inflation is piling in, and he wants the rates low to keep his for whatever reason. I guess they don't want to keep paying. They don't want to pay any more interest. This is gonna be a very tough time, Lou. I mean, even though we have I don't know. I'll talk a few minutes here about this because it's to me it shows. I don't know. I guess I feel like I have had, you know, maybe was blessed and I got to sit in class with Milton Friedman and a couple of guys like that for a while. But it's stunning to me how people absolutely get this economic argument kind of wrong. I mean, we're talking about an economy that if you didn't cheat on the CPI, you'd have inflation out the behind right now. And you've got people that should know better. Had the Fed chairman saying there's been no influence of tariffs yet, like on the retail level or something. No, but everybody that comes on TV or anywhere says they're all over the supply chain. Well, maybe they haven't quite made it to the end yet, but they're there. How can a guy supposed to be the smartest economist in the world say that when something shows up at the dock and it used to be $1 million and you got to write a check to the government for $100,000, somehow that's not going to make it through the chain? How does the guy get that job and he's going to say that? Now, I know he doesn't believe it really because he knows way more economics than I do. But how in the hell can you say that? I mean, really?
We're not talking about situations where we've got people giving honest opinions. This is political.
But Lou, somewhere along the line, I mean, Mayor Daley, the first one, said good government is good politics. What is the point of doing stuff every day? You got to stand in front of a mic, knowing 50 million people are listening, and essentially lie to them. And then he starts talking about that the fiscal policy has really helped out. You know,
are you talking about the president?
Jay Powell, the president. He just doesn't know any of this stuff.
I was going to say that he's going to speak about, you know, things that he feels are supporting the president's program, and that's the Fed is politicized. You know that.
Well, sure they are, but I'm saying the point being is when you come out and you say stuff like the fiscal policy is working, so we can cut back like on the monetary policy. Well, it's all BS. I mean, there is no such thing as fiscal policy separate from monetary policy. Now,
I agree with that.
Now, why do I say that? Well, if you actually had, okay, here's how fiscal policy on its own would work. Okay, the Fed has the money supply going out just like they always do. They want a growth here, growth. They keep it steady as she goes. All of a sudden, the Fed goes out, or the government, the federal government, Treasury goes out and borrows $200 million from people. And then they spend the $200 million, and the people have less money, okay? $200 million less, the Fed's got more. Now, the reason why you do that, or you could do that, is because people used to save. I mean, right now, most people don't have much money for saving. When I say saving, I'm not talking about wealth you build up through stocks or assets. I'm talking about, you know, every week you make $100, you live on 80, you put 20 in the bank. I don't know how many families in this country are doing that now, Lou. I mean, you look at the savings per family, it doesn't seem like there's very many. But so the idea is the federal government will spend all of it and you won't. So that's where the fiscal policy comes out, that 15-20% that people save. Okay, now if the federal government goes out and borrows $200 million, and the Federal Reserve creates $100 million and buys the bonds up from them, you've just increased the money supply by $100 million plus the multipliers. So you're already doing monetary policy. It's part of the fiscal policy because you can't do the fiscal policy because people aren't going to lend you that much money. So you create the money to put it in there. So it's really ignorant to say you're doing one and not the other, unless you really are, which they probably have never done.
I think, again, you're talking about a position that is designed to support the political policies of the president. If he is not going to get on, the Fed is not going to get on there, or the Fed chair or his other folks are not going to get on the television and say, yeah, we've screwed this all up and the economy's going to tank any time now. They're not going to say that.
Well, they have been independent before. I'm thinking that the Fed cost Bush 1 his second term.
Could well have done it. And everybody knows that. Or at least they suspect that. So I'm not excited about the Fed chair coming on and saying something like that with nuances and dodges that he would point to. So that just doesn't excite me.
Well, it hits close to home for me because I'm somewhat of an economist and he's supposed to be the best one. You want to hear him When I hear him speaking with a forked tongue, it bothers me, I guess. Just like if somebody comes out of the Supreme Court and starts saying stuff that doesn't make sense legally, you'd probably be more pissed off than me.
That's probably true. I was actually thinking more along the lines of foreign policy when somebody like President Bush II says he could see that he could negotiate and deal with Vladimir Putin, and I'm going, no, you can't, and you're an idiot for saying that. So I'm that you're probably right that we get excited about things in our area of expertise. But the short answer is the fact that the guy says this doesn't, to me, like directly into some kind of policy move that at least that I understand it doesn't translate directly into some kind of policy move.
Well,
they're disguising the effects of these tariffs. I am vehemently against the whole tariff thing, even in the short term, as it seems that's what he's doing. I'm not sure, given the chaotic nature of President Trump's, many foci, I'd like to think there's some kind of long-term game being played with respect to the Chinese, for example. With this latest announcement that they're meddling in our midterms, I just don't know. I will say this. What you're seeing with Kavanaugh and this nomination just reinforces in the minds of the people who voted for him and in the minds of a lot of people who said they'd never vote for him that the approach that the Republican Party has taken with respect to the Democrats for a number of years is simply wrong, and that they needed to have some guy like this in there. And that's where I come down on this.
Well, there's no question that this is it. The scariest part is the more he acts like a blithering idiot in my mind, the more he helps some part of his base loves it.
I think that's true, and I'd love to think there's some long term strategy there. And I mean, what can you say, Chief?
The guy won the election.
He did exactly this as a campaigner and won the election.
Well, he's not going to change his spots. The thing with the Chinese is going to end when he personally figures that they have kissed the mistletoe and he personally has won. Because it's like everything else he's done.
I think that's exactly right. I think he sees this in very personal terms, and that drives all of this. So. That's a long-winded way of saying I'm not excited about, the fact that the Fed is saying things that are uncomfortable for economists to hear. I'd rather focus if I'm going to get my dander up. There's an old expression.
Yeah.
My dander up. I'm going to get excited about the whole Kavanaugh political process and. What we're doing on foreign policy and the fact that we rattled the Chinese again within the last couple of days by flying aircraft over their islands.
Well, the head of the press conference yesterday, and we had a bunch of trading going on here, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it word for word, but I'm going to bet that the big question on the table for me is the Fed, to me, is as far as they can go with this new policy. When you raise the interest rates, you're supposed to drain cash out of the system. Okay, they aren't doing that. Well, they're paying banks interest on money that you're putting in the bank, and you're not getting interest for it. This is unconscionable. That we're up to like 2.25. We're going to pay these guys when nobody's making a dime on interest, and you're paying fees. I mean, they've changed the entire banking system. It's very similar to. Trump's speech in front of the UN the other day. It's if you listen through all the crap where people are laughing at him and stuff, the fact is it's an incredible change in foreign policy for this country. Not that we've done it before. It was like that before World War II, it was like that before World War I. But I mean, it's not like it's new, but it's incredible change. Now this deal with the Fed, how do the people in that room that's supposed to be people that have a brain cell working? Of course we know our friend Pedro got booted out after he asked a question they didn't like. Why isn't there somebody in there like They would never let me in. But I'd say, when are you going to stop this ridiculousness? When are you actually going to drain the system? We don't have a Fed funds right now, Lou. And people are on TV. Steve Leisman, these guys are—they're making hundreds of thousands a year to be on TV to be your economic analyst. Oh, we're talking about the Fed funds rate. It's the rate that one bank trade. Lou, there is no Fed. Nobody. The bank takes their excess stuff and they dump it with the Treasury. They're paying 2.25%. So if you're going to go to another bank and you need money, you know, unlikely event you need reserves, which nobody needs now because they got so much cash, you know what to do with it. The number is going to be 2.25%, and I guess that would be the Fed funds rate. But it's only going to be 2.25% because the guy could get it at the Fed. And if the Fed stopped paying interest right now, the bank to bank rate would be nowhere near 2.25%. I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, and again, the reason they say these things is because I don't think anybody other than perhaps you and some folks that understand the nuances of this are paying attention. These are complicated issues, and quite frankly, the rest of the public is fascinated by what's about to happen at the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Well,
this morning.
I'm going to throw a name out there, and all the right people on the right are going to cringe, but I'm going to say the only person that asked, and I'm no big fan, by the way, the only person who asked that question twice in front of Congress when Bernanke was there. Bernanke and what's her name? Jenny Yellen. She actually, as Maxine Waters said, why are we paying interest to bank money at the Fed? What are you doing? I mean, the banks aren't paying interest to any of my people, and you're paying them interest. Why are we paying interest to banks on money we just put out there? And Janet Yellen dodge, and her 5 minutes was up, and there's everybody going, oh, get that Maxine Waters off the screen. You know, she's this black lady that's unattractive. Get her the hell out of it. The fact is, she asked the right question, though. And a lot of times she doesn't, but those two times she did, and she never got an answer from these guys. What are you doing paying banks interest?
So I guess my response... My response would be that that's going to continue until it becomes something that is either clearly understandable, or the press puts it in that context, or we end up in some kind of economic crisis, and then you guys like you can go on CNBC and say, "Hey, I told you so. Look at all this."
Yeah, but that doesn't, Lou. If I see somebody putting a bridge together,
the answer to your question is why do they say these things? The answer to the question is because they can.
Yeah.
And nobody's calling them on it because we're in a political culture that is focused right now on bread and circuses. We're not interested in this kind of long term thoughtful look.
Well, I've talked to several people in the last few days, as you can imagine, because I don't even want to talk about the Kavanaugh thing. So let's get to it. But I've talked to several people, Lou, that it's amazing to me. They're some of the nicest, most moral people I've ever met. And because of the side they're at, one way or the other, they've managed to change their entire way of thinking from what I've known them for their whole life, just to fit into either the right argument or the left argument. Lou, when that starts happening to your population, that is not good. I don't care which side you're on. But guy calls me yesterday, good friend, been friends forever, and he starts talking about he's very, very pro-right. And he starts talking about this Kavanaugh thing and blah, blah, blah. And I go, I said, listen to yourself. Tape this conversation and play it back. You will not believe what you're saying. He goes, what are you talking about? And I said, look, you're talking about somebody who's, I said, you were brought up the same way I was. As my grandmother used to say, at age 7, you're supposed to know right from wrong. It's the age of reason. At age 12 or whatever it is in the Catholic Church, you make your confirmation. You're supposed to be a man damn near at 12. Mentally, I mean, not 100%, but you're supposed to know that you should be able to help your family. You should be able to do stuff at that age. Now, we're talking about kids that are 16. Now, and he says, well, how does anybody know that this guy did this? And I said, first of all, you don't. I said, okay, but there's been numerous people, male and female, starting to describe the culture at that school at that time. Okay, and I don't know if this guy did whatever he did. I don't know what happened between him and this girl. Nobody does. You don't. Nobody does. But the point being is there's an awful lot of illegal stuff going on. There's an awful lot of things that appears to be bad to people. You know, there's women talking about girls that went to the parties, came back, wouldn't talk about it. Something bad happened to them. There's talking about people spiking other people's drinks. Okay, you go to one of these parties, Lou. And I'm not saying that I'm an angel or anything, but if that stuff's happening, you know what? I'm not going back because I don't like seeing people take advantage of people. I don't like people. I mean, spiking people's dress.
Randy Newman wrote a song about it.
Yeah, I mean,
Mama told me not to come.
Well, yeah, the Three Dog Night. If I was interviewing the guy today, I wouldn't ask him anything about the girl. I just say, okay, you go to this party, you're 16. Well, yeah. Was there booze there? Yeah. Well, what's the drinking age? Well, 21. Were drugs there? Yeah. By the way, is there a drug age? No, they're just plain illegal for everybody. Yeah, but you were there. And you saw, you know, was there sex there? Well, yeah, there was. Well, did you see maybe, was the sex, the minute the girls showed up, they hooked up with their boyfriend and headed into the bedroom? Well, no, not exactly. Well, what happened first? Well, like a real lot of drinking. Okay. A lot of drugs, too? Yeah. Were guys, like, making drinks for the girls and you know.
Maybe, okay, so, you know, at the end of this questioning, what do you end up, at the end of this question point is, about high school culture, what do you end up
with? My point is, okay, so you went to one party and you never went back. Well, no, I went to, like, 50 of them. Okay, so you're telling me that the first time you were so appalled, and this is not you, you would never touch one of these girls, that you, instead of going home saying, this is bad, you're never going again, you went to, like, 40 of them. What were you, a prurient interest guy? Well, you just wanted to watch everybody else screw these girls that were all drunk and drugged up? Or did you tell me you never participated all along the line, you just went to watch? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I mean, to me, it's all character, Luke. I never took advantage of anybody at 16. I never took advantage of anybody at 12. And I don't like people who do.
But, okay. So let me just roll out. I think
I'm not
the direction that you're headed is that people who did bad things in high school are basically bad people. Or people we shouldn't trust.
I think, Luda, the people I knew in high school that were real mean guys that always took advantage of the weakest guy on the football, loved to run into the guy who was the smallest guy, they're still that way.
Okay. So where's the indication or the marker that Brett Kavanaugh is still like this?
I'm just saying, in my opinion, we could find somebody else. I'm not saying fire him from his job where he is now. I'm just saying I don't trust
where
people like that.
Where is the marker? Where are the markers that what he's accused of is still part of his character?
I think if it happened once, Lou, and in kind of fuzzy terms, I don't have a problem with it. If I found out that he was the leader of 50 of these parties, I'd have a problem with it. I don't know it's like pornography. I can see it when you show it to me. I'll tell you if it is or not.
Okay, well, here's my take on this. First of all, I'm not if he attempted if he manhandled this woman as a teenager, then I have problems going forward, because of what happened, which is bad enough, at least right now, but because of the denials. And I think you know, if this is something that happened, then he should have owned up to it. I don't even get to that point, though, because Brett Kavanaugh sounds, to a certain extent, like a lot of guys I knew in high school. Now, admittedly, that was a decade earlier. But what has happened with Kavanaugh right now is that you have a number of allegations that are not substantiated in the slightest.
I agree.
They are simply the bad memories or incorrect memories or outright falsehoods of people who, for whatever reason, decided this was not important enough or not worth talking about at the time it happened, you know, and who now want some credibility, want whatever. And I, you know, this is in my wheelhouse. I deal with people who make reports about sexual misconduct of people at work. In many cases, not necessarily within, you know, 35 years, but within, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years. People misremember, they misstate, they do all kinds of things. So I will never give something like an unproven or a simple allegation, I will never give that credibility. Especially when I don't see any other marker of comparable conduct by the individual.
I'm agreeing with you. I am not about to talk about. I'll say this. I've read a couple articles from women One was Nancy Reagan's daughter. It says, when something like that happens to you, sometimes you're in denial, sometimes...
Okay.
You know, but so, what I'm saying is we got a minute here, what I'm saying is, and we'll carry this over, obviously, is I think, to me, the article of the guy in the Huffington Post, just describing how the kind of the parties they were, and when Bobby Kennedy's kid injected himself basically in his nuts with cocaine and overdosed, and the FBI showed up, the guy, the singular article to me line was, all of us felt our parties were going to stop. The feds are involved. We didn't talk to anybody. We didn't admit anything. We just weren't a narc. We had this whole cold of silence over these things. I don't like that. I'm just telling you, I don't like that. There's a guy dead. They don't want to talk to anybody, for God's sake.
Nobody is alleging. I mean, again, nobody is alleging with any credibility that the stuff that's
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Lou.
Associated with
SP Futures up four. Hold that thought.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hong. I'm Spool Michaels. Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 250. Dow futures up 3. Make that up 14 to Dow, isn't it? And then NASDAQ up 20. So we're trying to bounce back after falling off last night after the Fed announcement and press conference. Oil bouncing back as well. Oil went down yesterday, but now it's 72.25. 10-year yield down to 3.05. It's an odd world we live in, Mr. Lou. When the guy comes out and says we're going to have increases in interest rates and all the rates go down. Do you think it's hard to trade these days or what, for God's sake? DAX down 18.1%, FTSE up 18.2%, Gekron down 3, call that flat. So no hint out of Europe as to what's going on. Over in Asia, we're down here today. Nikkei down 237, that's a full percent, 23,796. Shanghai back under 2,800, 2,791, down 15 points, that's 0.5%. Hang Seng down 101, that's 0.4%, 27,715. So kind of a mixed bag there as well. Well, mixed to the downside. Oil set up 68 cents, Brent up 40 cents. Natural gas back under 3, 2.97. RBOB 2.07, which is as high as we've seen it in a while. We got gold doing nothing, unchanged. We got silver up 3 cents. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Cubbies clinch. I went to sleep when those guys were up 6-1, and it took them 10 innings to win, for God's sake.
Well, they won.
Yes.
Anyway, hello, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago has clear skies today. Today's high is a 75 with a low of 52. Phoenix is also set for a clear and sunny day with a high of 104 and a low of 76. Cubs are going to the playoffs. The Cubs finally figure out how to score against the Pirates. Final score of the game was 6-7. Now their next step is to repeat as National League champions. Sox lost to the Indians 10-2. Much like many of their previous games, the result was not what the White Sox intended.
Right.
Especially for their season finale. Diamondbacks' A.J. Pollock hit a three-run homer ending the game 7-2 with a win over the Dodgers. And the roads are clear. No accidents to report. Back to you.
So, Lou, the wild card is wild in the National League. They've got the Cardinals and the Dodgers are, like, almost even, and the Rockies and the Dodgers are, like, almost even. It's an interesting weekend for baseball.
Yeah, I think out here in Denver, people are just sort of, you know, holding their breath to see what the Rockies are going to do next. They've been up and down. They got off to a terrible start, but then have clawed their way back into it. So now you've got basically two teams, you know, counterpunching as fast as they can out here in the West and trying to stay even with each other. It's been a seesaw fight for the last month, and it's really been worth watching. There's been some terrific baseball out here, and the fact that you get to watch it in a stadium where I can watch the sun go down over behind the Rocky Mountains during the game is just an added benefit.
Well, it could be really wild if, like, everybody ties, because there's really
Because then you introduce. You know, maybe two additional one game playoffs, right?
Right. I mean, you could easily get, and the Cubs are, they're half a game ahead of Milwaukee because they have one more game to play. They have four to play. Milwaukee only has three. So the teams that are the division leaders in the National are the Cubs, Atlanta, and Colorado. But Colorado has got, they're only half a game. They've played one less game than the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have lost that game. So if Colorado wins that game, then they're a game up. So right now it's Milwaukee and LA with St. Louis one game behind. And Pittsburgh, who actually could be one of the best teams right now, but they had a trouble early in the year, is like 7 games behind. So they're out. So somewhere in this mess here, the Cubs have actually clinched being in. Milwaukee's actually clinched being in as well. So they're at least in.
I'm reading, and before we get back to Kavanaugh, yeah. I'm reading a really interesting series of books. David Halberstam wrote 4, monstrous tomes on sports in America, starting with the late 40s and the New York Yankees-Boston Red Sox rivalry, and then moving on to the summer of 1964, in which he writes a lot about, the Cardinals getting Lou Brock and the bank and Banks with the Cubs and the rise. And it really is a fascinating walk through American culture and history, mainly American sports culture, but what was happening with baseball early on, as as you saw the rise of these incredibly talented black players coming into the league, and the fact that he notes specifically that the American League didn't come along as fast with respect to bringing black ball players in as the National League did, and things like that, and these races that were tight, and all the back and forth that was going on with these clubs during these very tight pennant races, it really provides an interesting kind of backdrop to watch what's happening now. I will recommend Halberstam's books to anybody if you're interested. They're tough to slog through because he's so fact oriented and detail oriented. He recounts all kinds of stuff that I'm sure I'm not going to retain, but overall the impressions that he gives you, I think, are pretty accurate with what was happening with these clubs as these races tightened down. And
also
that with what you see now with the media exposure and Twitter and social media is really an interesting contrast.
Well, the study of like baseball and sort of racism in the country is an interesting parallel because, well, first of all, there's a picture, I had it somewhere. I don't know what the hell I did with it. But in the 1953 or 54 All-Star game, there was a picture of like 4 of the first African-American guys. It was Banks, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and like Jackie Robinson. I'm thinking, now there's a ball club. Imagine having those guys on your team all at the same time. I mean, but it's kind of amazing that baseball broke the color barrier, which obviously there shouldn't have. Actually, years and years ago, there were black players in baseball very early on, and then they were banned. I don't know if it was Landis or somebody else banned them. But if you go back into the 1890s and so forth, the 1910s, I think there were black people playing. I mean, I don't know when that exactly stopped, but there were. It wasn't like Jack
not in the South. Not in the South, there weren't.
No, but to say that if you ever get the trivia question, was Jackie Robinson the first black player in baseball? The answer is no.
Because they had black players in the late 1800s.
Right.
I think that's probably true. Anyway, to get back to...
But just real quick, let me make one more point. But the interesting part is this is really in our lifetime.
I want to go back to the comment that you made earlier.
Okay.
The idea that there is some kind of link between and the generalizations of what was going on at these parties. I mean, I was at parties, and you can maybe flat tire me with the same brush. I was at parties where I saw people drinking.
I used to buy the kegs, Lou, so it's not like
I just said, yeah, they're drinking, and I just stepped away from it. I didn't go to a lot of parties because I spent my entire high school career being exhausted. It was almost a relief to get to the Air Force Academy in some respects. But I spent my entire high school time being exhausted. So my idea of a good time on Friday night was actually to go home and get 8 hours of sleep because I didn't have swim practice until later on Saturday morning. But I went to parties where people were drinking and people were making out with girls, and I just said, that's what's happening. That unless you have people engaged in conduct that is truly criminal, And when I say truly criminal, I mean, you know, not the kind of conduct that you know, yeah, there was an occasional drinking at parties and things like that. Unless you have that, I'm not. And you see some kind of marker that this thing continued on. I don't get excited about it. I think you're right. Excuse me. I think the mean people tended to stay mean, and I think their character was reflected there. But I in no way think that people's character in high school was A, locked in, and B,
that
the experimentation people engaged in high school, it somehow reflects their later character without substantiation.
I'm not, as usual, making my point as good as I could have or could, because my concern is not the two people are making out, not that they had sex. That's their business, and you know what? And I honestly don't care. And if the bus full of girls pulls up, and they all had a boyfriend, and they all headed to the 15 bedrooms, you know, look, I could care less. But when you have people that's being alleged now by women and guys that people were spiking drinks, those kinds of things. We just sent a guy to jail yesterday for spiking people's drinks as an adult. Okay, a guy who's been an icon in this country for long. There's three kinds of people in the world sometimes, Lou. There's somebody who participates in that, okay, which I don't think you or I are. There's somebody who loves watching it, and maybe this guy's one of those. And there's somebody that's saying, hey, the girl's not even awake, lay off. Because it's not right, Lou. It's not right.
But we're not arguing about that. What we're arguing about is whether. And again, I think that the really dangerous part of this whole process is that the debate has moved from was Kavanaugh involved in any of this?
He was at least.
I don't think he was.
I'm going to say he's at least a watcher.
Report that he was.
Okay, if he went to two parties, I'm with you. If he went to 30, he's at least a watcher.
But he doesn't engage in any of the conduct.
That's what I'm saying. He's a watcher,
and
which is just
not,
as bad.
He's not saying he went to 30 parties where this happened.
Well, how many are we talking?
Well, nobody knows.
All right, well, that's we could ask point. That question. Well, hang on to that thought, buddy. SP Futures up 3. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello, everyone. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Lou Michaels. She's Miss Jay-Z. SP Futures up 2.5. NASDAQ up 23. Lou,
let me just articulate where I was going with my point. We have moved. The debate has moved, inexplicably in my mind, to a position where people are saying, well, you know, all these allegations mean something. They don't. None of them have been corroborated or substantiated to a degree that I feel they're even remotely credible. And yet, you know, you get this discussion by people saying that really engages people's prejudices.
Sure
and engages
sure
their predispositions so that they now say, well, something happened and you know, there's enough doubt about this guy that we ought to think about withdrawing or we ought to find somebody else. And my point is that's simply wrong. That's a ridiculous point. This is the kind of discussion that you're seeing out on places like Twitter and in the press, on places like CNN. Reflects exactly why we have the kinds of rules of evidence we do in courts to cut down on this stuff and try to preclude it to the extent that we can from entering into discussions about guilt or innocence in criminal trials or even in civil trials. And what is happening is this echo chamber, this reverberation of people talking about one or two incredible assertions goes back and forth and back and forth to the extent now that you have people, you know, smart people, intelligent people saying, oh, I think there might be something there because everybody's talking about it so much, rather than reaching back to the end, looking at the original allegation and saying, this doesn't make sense. This is very much like what happened in the Duke LaCrosse case, and it's exactly what happened in the Rolling Stone frat case. It is unconscionable, and I'm absolutely convinced that the Republicans need to simply say, look, show us something credible, go back to the original source, and I'm not saying that Ford is necessarily lying. I'm saying she might be mistaken or whatever, but there is no reliable account of what she did, and I will tell you right now, everything that's coming out of her side, including this ridiculous polygraph examination that would not have passed muster in any kind of forum that I'm aware of, the more stuff I learn about it, the more I say, this is even worse than I thought. It's even less credible than I thought.
Lou, you know way more about this than me.
The fact that people keep talking about it seems to somehow imbue it with some kind of analytical or credible.
All right, so Lou, let me get this straight.
I just wanted to let you guys know that
that's simply not there.
Let's let Jay-Z talk about that. She has a letter or email?
No, Kevin just tweeted. He just said, since you guys are talking about it, two men approached the Senate committee claiming that they had the encounter with Dr. Ford. Yeah, not Kavanaugh.
Well, I mean, the whole idea that everybody's coming down on both sides. Again, Lou, the advantage I have on you and Kevin and my liberal people is that I'm right in the middle. I don't care. To me, the show. I see people defending it. I see people on the other side, and I'm with you. I don't. If somebody was going to be,
but you're doing exactly the same thing that I just talked about.
No, I'm not.
The fact that these reverberations are going on, and my point is, you go back to the original sources. None of them have provided anything other than
I absolutely. I absolutely agree with you on everything you just said. Absolutely,
then,
you and Kevin.
Why is there any question?
Well,
about
my point
Kevin
is, so what's the defense? We drugged everybody. We were 16. We got so screwed up. And we had so many drugs. We couldn't remember what we did. So nobody could tell if they got raped or not. Is that the defense,
Chief? There is no defense. The defense is this account by this woman is not credible, so we reject it. This account by this other woman is not credible. So we reject
okay.
it. And then we move forward.
And what I'm saying is,
allow the fact that this has been discussed over and over again and churned through social media. We don't allow that fact to get to affect our assessment of the original allegation.
You're looking at this through the eyes of an attorney. I get it. Okay, and I mean, I'm not arguing. What I'm saying is, I've been watching and reading everything I can about this. It's not about whether I could take it to court. It's not about whether this lady could prove rape. No, she couldn't. We know that. We all know that.
But we're not. No. But no. Step away from that, because that's a talking point for CNN. They're saying this is a job interview. I would tell you, as a guy who deals with job interviews as part of his job, I would tell you that if this came in with an employer, I would say, if you really want this guy for this position, you know, here's the analysis that you lay out.
Louis, I'm getting,
this is the president's choice.
And look what we got there. But my point is, as usual, you and I are talking on two different parts of the chessboard. What I'm saying is, there appears to be, nobody's denying that all kinds of crazy stuff happened with this stuff. We got a guy dead, Lou, for God's sake. Robbie Kennedy's kid's dead at one of these parties. They're naming the house.
But why does that have any? This is your worldview intruding into a situation where it doesn't necessarily have any application.
What I'm saying is, from what I know of people,
you're putting in some kind of view about prep schools or whatever.
I'm not putting in a view. What I'm saying is, one of the guys. They gave him a big interview in this article. Now again, it's the bad press. It says the guy said these parties were out of control.
The parties from
Georgetown Prep would go to people's houses on weekends. They would spend the entire weekend, which I never did in high school. If girls from other prep places went to these places, and I've read the women saying a lot of them didn't talk about what happened. They're talking about guys pulling trains. They're talking about people spiking people's drinks. Nobody's denying any of that. Do you think he would?
I think he would deny that he knew anything about it.
He's going to say, okay, I was never in one of the trains. I never spiked anybody. So what was he there, a voyeur?
Chief, when I was in high school, and I assume when you were in high school, rumors like this ran amok.
They weren't rumors, Lou. When I was in college, I'll give you a quick one.
I'll
give you a one-minute version here. One of the ladies who's been on the show a couple times, if you ask her who I am, we never dated, anything like that. She goes, he's my protector. We went to this party off campus, Lou, at Notre Dame. I never saw anything like it. It was whiskey. There were lazy Susans with pills on the table. One guy was chewing on a piece of glass. This girl gets in a fight with her boyfriend because he wanted to leave. Well, the boyfriend and the guys they came with, they all left. Well, guess what, Lou? I didn't leave because they came with me. I said, okay, you proved your point. A half hour later, let's get out of here. This is not our kind of place. And I pretty much dragged her out. And I said, you can come back tomorrow, you can come back next week. But when you're with me, I'm not leaving somebody that I brought in some place like this. You know what, Lou? You're one or the other on these things.
But that experience and your individual experience doesn't extrapolate to high school parties across the board
okay.
or even these parties that Kavanaugh went to.
Okay, I saw bad stuff happening every week. I saw people doing this. And guess what? I never did it, but boy, I was there every week. I mean, I can't deal with that. It's just me. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's me.
In that case, I would submit that you and perhaps me and perhaps every socially active male in the United States of America is unqualified for any position of authority or trust.
Lou, I can't, if I thought somebody was being taken advantage of in front of me, I couldn't let it happen. I wouldn't go every week to watch it.
Do you have any indication that that's what was going on?
I'm thinking that I have, there seems to be enough indication that I've seen that these things were a tad out of control. It wasn't like there were chaperones. All right, Lou, we got a dash, buddy. I have a feeling this will be here next week. I have a feeling.
SP futures up 3. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures up 23. Be right back.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Lower North Bank Station Jack, Sam Tomasi, Jay-Z, Mr. Ferry Hams. The S&P Futures is not only up two, down only up one. NASDAQ up 20, which is interesting because we've got Apple up $3. So that should be 24 points in the Dow right there. And that with the Dow Futures are not doing very much. Ferry, can you hear me? I can hear you.
No, it sounds like you moved to China.
Maybe I will. What's going on, Chief? I'm not so good. I'm big on China. I've never been there. I might want to go to Hong Kong someday.
But my dad went to Shanghai. He was in Beijing right after 9/11. I mean, this was pre-planned because we went to a bunch of friends around there together, and they really, really had a great time. Imagine what you would see if you go there now.
I've had people go there and say a lot of the guys, my buddies from the Fed have gone there because they've done a lot of work. I have friends at the Fed.
Murray, that's very impressive, Murray. Okay.
These are the guys that the guys I know, Fari, are the experts being in the Chicago area on how trading exchanges, clearing corps, and those kinds of places interact with the central bank and the banks.
Yeah.
So it's a very complex sort of area that I learned from these guys.
Coffee. I'm trying to wake up.
Yeah. I learned from these guys, and they write these esoteric things about clearing and how everything needs to clear at one time if you're doing foreign exchange transactions. If not, if somebody goes out in the meantime, you got a problem. Stuff you would never even think of. There's basically like $1 trillion of stuff that clears every day between foreign exchange and stocks and everything. And it's huge amounts of cash. And if you don't know, and if it didn't all work, we'd be Venezuela pretty quick. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So what do you make of the Fed announcement and the talk? And then all of a sudden we go down and we're trying to bounce back a little bit this morning. We got oil running up.
Well, I think, yes, there was a decent bull trap. If you look at least short term, at least what we can say so far, we had a very high down to up volume for both assets. It's a down to up volume ratio, about 2.5, and then on the NYSE about 1.45 on NAS. If you look at chart wise, it was outside bar. It moved about 2 sigma intraday. So since the announcement came out and the close was classic, the Fed sessions that Chairman Powell had taken over the helm, six of them had sold hard into the close. Yes, there was no exception. I think how they did it was a classic bull trap where the news came out, they rallied it up, and I kept on saying from the beginning, I was not long. I said from the very beginning, guys, this is not a time to be long. Just be extra careful. And frankly, I took some heat. A couple of times I pulled out a portion and then reshorted higher. I just said the time has to come on my side. I'm a little bit early. So you cover partial. You're still short in case it drops. But you go and take that money and short it higher. Yes, you have a loss. But then,
yeah,
it starts cascading down. You throttle up on all 8 engines you have, like a B-52. You add more positions there, and you sit back, get your coffee, and then you have to worry about targets. Frankly, I thought it was a little bit overdone, so I'm not that surprised this morning that it's come back a little bit. But I think the combo, what the chart pattern is, how he did yesterday to the Fed, and today with Kavanaugh hearings, that's a lot of fireworks for whoever you are as a trader. Yeah. So probably by Friday I'll be a vegetable and do nothing. So we'll see. It'll be a heavy day today.
It is interesting when
and controversial. So each question could be a trade.
Well, yeah. When you start having the Fed raising interest rates and then the rates and the market rates go down, that's always an interesting trade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have a chart called Murray's chart because Murray and Murray, Murray and Mrs. Murray live and die on this chart. It's at 91 day, 5, 10, and 30. I think I may have even posted it for you before. We hit day before yesterday, on Tuesday, we hit a 7-year high in 10-year.
Yep.
We have been pushing up the 5-year I think about five or six sessions in a row, we actually draw a line for the 7-year high. Why? Because before that, you go into the pre-quantitative easing. So you're distorting charts. And we also look at the monthly support resistance levels as computed by the range of the prior month. That has been absolutely incredible. Now, we have these are YTMs. These are yield to maturity. So it takes the effect of looking at continuous contracts out. It's actually just the yield to maturity. And it comes out of SIBO. It's the index. Anyhow, what's interesting is that the front end is moving the fastest up, and the back end is moving the slowest. As a matter of fact, on the 30-year, we're at only 3.2, where the 7-year high is 3.976, say 4%. So actually, it's got a long way to go. And yesterday was very notable, where these pulled back at the time that the Fed is increasing the front end.
Well, the amazing part to me, anyway, one man's view, because everybody knows I talk about it probably too much, is the TNX. I'm looking for, if you want to know an easy, if you have a quote system, any way you can get quotes, TNX is the 10-year and TYX
Correct.
Is the 30-year. So I'm looking at them right here. This is the closes last night. TNX was 3.06, which means the 10-year, and the 30-year is 3.19. So you're talking about 0.13 difference, which, you know, Farhi, you can have all these bleeps from Washington stand out there and tell you, how does this guy, well, oh, that's the same question I asked. How does this guy tell people that there's no effect of tariffs on prices yet? The supply system is jammed with everybody coming on saying that anybody manufacturing anything about how they're all going to have to raise their prices because they're getting assaulted with these tariffs. And yet the guy comes out and says it's not a problem yet. Well, I guess it won't be a problem until next month's CPI. I get that part. But he's supposed to know this stuff a little faster, isn't he? I mean, he's ahead of the Fed, for God's sake.
Well, he went to Princeton. So he's
What I'm saying is I'm stunned that people are willing to give money for 30 years with all this stuff percolating for the same price as for 10. I just can't.
3.2%.
I mean, I just...
It's unheard of.
I know
I got a trader here that trades NQs. She made that 3.2% in one day. And continuously does...
Yeah.
Listen, last 4 months, she's made 86% a month. 86% a month on average. She makes that kind of money in one day. So you're giving it to her for 1 year? Something's wrong here.
Well, but there are...
As I was telling to Jay-Z earlier, welcome to the new America.
Well, we put some people lately, because we're actually... There's always people that want to have some money in cash, and some they trade, and some whatever, invest. And we put some, you know, people's cash money... We bought some treasuries for people recently, and you know, I look at the yield curve and I'm going, 6 months is far you got to go. Why do you got to go any further? You're picking up like 0.2% to give it for another 2 years. Why would you want to do that? let's just go for 6 months, and if the rates go up, that's okay. We can absorb it for 6 months and we'll do something else. But the idea of giving the money out for 30 at the same price as 10, that's unconscionable to me. How can I do that with anybody's money, Farhi? I mean, it's just a bad trade.
Done.
You know,
whether you want to participate or not, it's being done.
Well, it's somebody's showing up.
Exactly. Somebody's at that window. So welcome to the new America.
Well, when are we going to insult enough people in the world where nobody shows up to buy our stuff? Are we ever going to
get up? We will. There's a point there. And also, the two ways. One is that the other was that we've got up too much debt. $200 billion, $210 billion, it was last month. You know what that run rate is? To make Obama look like a... But Fed guy.
We're going to be very close to $1 trillion in the hole this year. We're $850 billion after 11 months.
No, I think we're going to be over that.
September is...
There's a school of thought out there that says this could be the biggest one ever. Annual rate.
We're not going to get...
If we slow down, okay, and the tax receipts, we could be there very fast.
I'm talking about the fiscal year that ends... Tomorrow, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about the last 3 month run rate. I'm talking about the fiscal year, because after 11 months we were $850 billion.
Yeah,
so yeah. So say
then the next year would be a bloodbath.
Well, we're talking. How can you? These people. I mean, it's not like I'm the fake news or anything. All I'm doing is is putting out there the numbers. I think you have a president which people deeply love because he hates the people they hate. And some people do.
He has no grasp for details.
Right. He's going to say it's the greatest economy in the world. He's the greatest president in the world. Well, why are you running a $1 trillion deficit if it's so good?
No, nothing better than that. They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Where'd
you go to school again?
Yeah, he's...
Daddy wrote the check, I see, because you were at the bottom of the class anyway. The professor said he was the worst student they ever had.
Well, we certainly didn't read much about other presidents. I think Washington did a little bit of a job, Lincoln, Roosevelt, a few guys did something along the way, do you think? Just saying.
Look at the FDR.
Yeah.
Yeah, save the Western world on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Okay, don't tell me you're one of the best administrations. And he did for 12 years. This guy's struggling at 18 months.
Well,
by the way, I don't know how things are going to work out, but I do read a website that I think, among others, as you know, I read both sides. I always push both sides. I don't give my own 2 cents, but maybe here I'll venture out a little bit. But the reason I do that, both on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, is that I have a huge following in each, because I encourage others to read also, to look at both sides, and to understand. As a son of a counterintelligence officer, you never know what the truth is. You only know truth lies somewhere in between the two sides, and to grasp that. One of the sites I'd like people to look at is Real Clear Politics, RCP. It is almost evenly divided on both sides of a political spectrum. If you look at their generic polls that they're looking at, they're putting... Democrats up about by 12 points for this election. That means not that we've lost the House. I think the Senate is in play. And with the thin margin that we have, this is a major problem in the sense that, it's a problem for some and a relief for others on the other side. We may have only 6 weeks left of effective rule by Guampino, because after that, it'll be totally lame duck. And I get so frustrated, he'll walk away.
Well,
between not inability to pass anything on one side and Mueller really going to full throttle, more facts coming out, 120 plus indictments. Are you kidding me?
Well,
come on, you get your head in the sand.
Well, when
you
say,
and the rest of the Trumpkins, I tell them.
When in this day and age, that's why I was just arguing while I'm discussing things with Lou. The stuff is going on so many levels. You can't even, as somebody who was a Democrat, now in the middle, I'm going to say, Fari, when you say the Democrats are going to gain or the Republicans are going to gain, who are you even talking about? When you say who the Democrats, most Democrats can't tell you who the Democrats are. And most Republicans can't tell you who Republicans are right now.
This is also a popular thing. They, especially down here, all of a sudden, half of the Trumpkins I know, are very, very quiet. The other half that says we're independent.
Well,
it's just like complete. They just don't want to be even identified as Trumpkins anymore. So,
to a large extent, I think that my biggest disappointment with Trump is that I think he had it's what I wanted for years. Fari, is somebody in the middle of the parties that can roust up the alligators and kick a few of them out.
Right. I have some business sense.
It has some business sense. He's exactly what I wanted to have there. But now, why do you have to ruin it by hating these people, hating those people, talking like this?
What he does is what he says. That's my biggest problem with him.
Well, if
he closes his mouth and closes his Twitter and just be a steward of the country. That's what he is. The president is a steward of the country, both morally, financially, politically. I got a very effed up.
You look at the difference.
My threshold levels are too high.
Here's
what scares me even more, the chief. The next generation are going to take over.
Well, yeah.
Take care of all of our issues that we're creating now. Remember, there's a generational delay on our actions, okay? Listen, what's happening with China right now? Who started it? Nixon. Okay? That's what it is.
Yeah.
He opened the doors. It takes time for these actions to really impact. Same thing as they're talking about the Supreme Court. Same issue. These are generational issues. So So imagine the people we have now who are in their mid-20s. By then would be in their mid-40s to take over and help. Really? How many of them are on opiates? I mean, what kind of depression are you talking about? How much Prozac they've taken? I mean, you just go on and on. This world has changed a lot.
Well, sure it has. But if you listen to Carl Denninger, who was on yesterday, versus I'm not saying that there aren't some pretty smart people in Washington that do trade agreements and stuff. From what I understand, those are usually the brightest and the best we have that actually do these things because they're so darn complicated. Well, we've dumbed those down to where it's not a trade agreement now. It's a deal. It's a deal. You know, it's a 40,000-page deal. I mean, come on. I mean, do we have to bring everything down to a Twitter? Well, my point is, Carl will tell you, chapter and verse, how these trade agreements, in some ways, absolutely were terrible and did not work out the way they were supposed to work out. They've actually screwed a lot of the American people in some way that he said there always should have been tariffs that evened up to a certain extent, not 100%, but they evened up some of the problem, the difference in pollution and in salaries. You don't just get to move a place to China, pay somebody 5 cents an hour, and bring those products back here without some sort of a cost to that. I mean, there's reasons why is General Motors paying the same people in Mexico the same amount they did 10 years ago or 12 years ago, from what I understand. Now, how has it not worked the way we want them to work? So I would absolutely be all for ripping these things apart and saying, okay, where have they worked and where they haven't? Any agreement from 20 years ago needs to be redone once in a while.
Right, right.
I don't have any problem with that. But the whole idea
in this day and age, when the speed of the business is moving, I agree with you. That's not a problem.
But is the idea to get the guy from Mexico to accede to me and kiss my ass personally, and then it's a done deal on the one or two lines I happen to read? That's not the government I'm looking for. The idea that you have the courage to do it, I will take my hat off to this guy. He's not afraid of anything, I'm for that. But the idea, it's in the detail. I mean, this Mexican agreement. I mean, I don't spend my 24 hours looking for it. Have you seen any piece of paper anywhere, Ferry, where somebody intelligent has written down and said, "Here's 25 items in the old one, and here's 25 items in the new one, and here's how they've changed"? I haven't seen a piece of detail yet.
They never give any detail.
Yeah. So all it is, it was the world's crummiest deal. Now it's the world's best deal because I like it. Okay. I guess I can roll with that.
That only appeals to the certain IQ levels. And I'll leave it at that without hurting or being hurtful.
Yeah, I mean, how do you?
You and I would have a different type of mind where we want to see the critical mindset that we want to see some backup. You can't just take anything you want.
Well, for I have to ask, as a guy who spent my whole life loving the stock market, and I went to grad school and I learned about it, and I find I don't know how to put it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not fearful. I'm something. This whole idea that in the lexicon of the country, it's what about this new law? What about this? What about these tariffs? Well, tariffs must be good. This market's still at record levels. The idea now is that the market has become this beacon that the administration and everybody looks
at. And also, there's a lot of talk about the market, but there's not much of a talk about the economy.
Well, the economy is
great. It's the labor force, for example. They talk about the unemployment, but they don't talk about participation. They don't talk about wage growth. It's a very, very selective way of looking at the
economic
data.
Every question you ask, it must be okay. The market's up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, we're doing good. Look at us. We're record high. What other judge is it? I mean, the idea that the market is that.
But Hurricane Maria came to Puerto Rico. Market is up.
Yeah, market's up. Nobody cares, but yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, at some point.
By the way, the defendants do the same thing. Just turn on and have a little call to some of them. I call them because remember this is Trumpkin country down here. I tell them, did you get your handy fixed tonight? They say what? I said TV. Because these guys got to get their handy fixed. Just like a drug user. When it goes to whatever this program is at 9 o'clock, it looks like at 9 o'clock they get the syringe out, they get the rubber band to get the vein up, and at 9, boom, the needle goes in. They've got to do that. And whatever that guy puts out there, no matter how his backing is, they take it. Just like, remember, who was the guy? The guy on radio, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, he would go crazy on radio. Hey, this is this version of it. And then the advice. Remember, this is the presidency this think tank is Fox viewership.
Yeah. It's
okay, remember, they're selling ads. By the way, tell me, who do you think is the highest political program in ad revenue?
Well, I have no idea. I'm going to say it's one of those.
No. Rachel Maddow show.
Really?
She is bringing cash in like you won't believe. Highest viewership, highest ad revenue.
You don't make more money than anybody else?
You know why? Stanford Law.
You know who makes more money than anybody on TV, Ferry? You
what?
Should know this.
Who?
Jay-Z?
Fallon?
Who makes more money than anybody else on TV? By far.
I have no idea.
Colbert?
No. Not anybody you would normally think.
Who?
Judge Judy. She's like double.
Oh, actually, I did know that.
She's like double everybody else. Now, there's a show of
intellect. No, this is a paying her. It's not the ad income.
Well, I mean...
No, I'm talking about ad income. Well, I'm talking about the show itself,
Fari,
not the person is getting paid.
Fari,
no,
getting paid...
I'm talking about something changing back and forth
based
on the revenue of viewership and the ad
income. I'm going to say...
Not what the contract is for 5 years.
I'm going to say that the...
five-year contract. No, yeah.
All right, if they're paying her $40 million...
Colbert is killing it in the midnight. I mean, Fallon cannot even catch them.
All right, I
and remember, and you know who gave him that? Grumpino. Colbert was dead almost that show until Grumpino arrived. He is the writing team. The Grumpino himself is the writing team.
All right, I'm saying there's got to be some correlation, but if they're paying a lady $40 million, I'm guessing they're getting pretty good ad revenue. I'm just saying.
No, I realize that, but you can also aggregate
off
of huge, what do you call it, you have? Huge base of many, many shows you have, plus you got Rupert Murdoch, and also give her a chance to, build up her ad revenue to what they're paying her. Sometimes you have to lock these people up. It's an option. This is the contract. You want them, this is what she wants. If you know, you know, it's all or nothing. So they're up for it, and they say, we'll catch up. I'm talking about today. Right now, what is the ad revenue?
Oh,
Are there political shows? It's Rachel Maddow by far. I mean, and look at the content. Look how she walks over. And I'm not a legal type. I'm not a Democrat. But she goes through each filing, each statement that's filed, the movements, the other information, it's just, wow.
Yeah, I don't have a chance. I watch this stuff all day long, so I give myself a break at night.
Well, that's what I think. I don't watch too much during the day. At night, because remember, I'm waiting for things to come in. The other one you want to look at is 11th Hour with Brian Williams. I know Brian had some issues. I remember that in the war. But look, the people who are, he's got each 15 minutes, he's got 3 to 4 people on the panel, and look who they are, and look how they analyze the day. Absolutely wild. So I just take those two on TiVo. I get to it when I get to it.
I think the group that I would have liked to have seen, I never did, when John and I were on the score. Well, the score moved to this NBC tower or whatever, and in there they used to do the Jerry Springer show.
Oh.
They said the people who would wait in line for the Jerry Springer show, it was like something out of, you know, you could have filmed that crowd and then said, is this America? Who are these people?
I saw a movie called White Boy Rick. You talk about if this is America. I cried. And this was 87 in Detroit. Imagine what it is now.
Well,
it was very sad,
Well, my conservative dinner mate last weekend gave me the 5 reasons why people love Trump. Stock market's up, unemployment rate's down, he hates Muslims, he's building a wall with Mexico, and he hates liberals.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, he's still working on his first promise. We're going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it.
But it doesn't matter. He hates the Mexicans, doesn't want them up here. That's okay, even though because they're like rapists and everything else, which he's alluded to, which in fact obviously they're not.
Except, half of his staff at these casinos were all Hispanic.
So. Well, but you never want to let the facts get in the way of a good story, Ferry. You know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay. What are we? I got my breakout in oil. I stubbornly stayed long the XLE.
Really?
So we're doing fine there. What about my breakout coming in gold and silver ever in my lifetime or what?
I don't look at the silver much. There's a talk among friends who got the boxes and boxes and boxes of certified silver, especially some from Australia, silver coins. They're talking about $100, and I'm saying What are you guys putting in that Kool-Aid?
100 hours silver?
Did you change the recipe? On the gold, it's just amazing how downticks we have on it. How many more downticks we'll have? Now, recently it's been fairly, I'm looking at it right now. Recently it's been fairly flat, but in terms of, you're between like, you're a 20-point handle car, room.
Yeah.
1190 to 1210 has been sitting there. Our software is almost giving no signal on it. It is so low, it's ridiculous.
Well, we've had a pretty good bounce in copper, which has carried silver up with it, but it hasn't touched gold at all.
Well, that's industrial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a, so silver's kind of in the middle, so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, seems like in this market, if you wait long enough, whatever you have starts moving up at some point.
Notice that this run-up we had in some of the techs, like Amazon and Apple.
Yeah.
Facebook is not doing anything. Tesla came back, somewhat.
Yeah, they've got people like,
was before,
real quick.
Came back, and a bunch of people called and said that this is time to short the Tesla. You'll probably get it around 150, and you can get out.
Yeah, 15 seconds. Hey, at some point, if we keep ratcheting up this problem with China, is Apple going to get caught in the crosshairs or not, or are they immune?
I think they already are. I think market is adjusting a tad. But no, the you have to realize, at least from what I read, not what I know, but I read, Wall Street Journal, what have you, Bloomberg and Reuters, China has moved to higher tech stuff, okay? That is, they're shipping stuff out to Thailand, the low tech, shipping it to Vietnam. They're really doing the very, very much, much higher high-end. Look, they're doing, I think, 15 nanometer chips, which is unheard of. 15 nanometer. The separation between the two lines, if my memory serves me right. When you get to that level, something like Apple is not just important for Apple in terms of quality, but it's also important for China.
Yeah, they are too. They probably are a little bit immune.
And the associate.
All right, Fire, we got to go, bud. I'll see you next week. SP Futures up 3.25.
Yes, sir.
Dow Futures up 17. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ponish. He's Jay Z on the board. David Andelman with us as well. SP Futures up 175. Dow Futures up 8. NASDAQ up 19. Trying to bounce back a little bit from yesterday's sell-off. We have a second revision of second quarter GDP came in right where it was before, 4.2. I think the tout was it was supposed to come in at 4.3, but it seems like it's settled in at this 4.2. Durable goods, the headline number, 4.5% increase versus 2. We'll get the number here in a second. Ex-transportation. Anyway, S&P futures, oil up 67 cents, 72.24. 10-year yield 3.05, down from that 3.1. Like I say, very strange market, as I mentioned earlier, when the Fed comes out and raises interest rates, and all of a sudden all the interest rate stuff goes down, which is not what you would expect. DAX up 43 cents, call that flat. FTSE up 25.3%. CAC down up 50 cents, call that flat. So let's say Europe is slow. Over in Asia, we got sell-offs. Nikkei down 235, that's about 1%. Shanghai down 15, or under 2,800 again, 2,791. Hang Seng down 101, that's 0.3%, 27,715. Like I said, West Texas, 67 cents. Brent up 43. That spread is now $9.50. Natural gas under $3 now, 2.97, but still higher than we've seen it. RBOB 2.07, so don't expect your gas to be going down this week anyway. Who knows, next week. Gold, down $1.79, silver unchanged, not much going on there. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Cubs clinch, at least the playoff.
Yep. Anyway, good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Chicago has clear skies today, high 75, low 52. Phoenix is clear and sunny as well with a high of 104 and a low of 76. Cubs are going to the playoffs. They finally figured out how to score against the Pirates, and the final score of the game last night was 6-7. Sox lost the Indians 10-2, unfortunately, and that was their season finale. Diamondbacks, A.J. Pollock hit a three-run homer, ending the game 7-2 win over the Dodgers. One accident on the right shoulder of the Eisenhower at 25th Avenue, causing some delays. Nothing else to report. Back to you.
So, David, some guy reached in and snatched the ball from Rizzo that he would have caught last night. I just saw that. David, are you with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, did you see that? There's another Bartman last night. Somebody snatched the ball from Rizzo before he could catch it. Foul ball. Unbelievable, huh?
But I bet it won't be worth as much.
No. Well, I mean, they end up winning, that's why. I mean,
right.
Nobody would have cared if the guy would have flown out of the next pitch on the Bartman thing either.
Yeah, or did the one right after Bartman go through the shortstop's legs or something?
Yeah.
So if he makes the play, Bartman is not famous.
That's right. So you got to, a lot of things have to happen for people to be famous. You got to be in front of the camera and you got to be doing stuff. It sell off yesterday surprised you after the Fed. It's been every time Janet Yellen opened her mouth, we went up. And this guy, every time he opens his mouth, we go down. At least 6 out of 7 now.
No, it went up after he talked.
Well, I mean,
because he said inflation, you know, was under control and the economy's strong and blah, blah, blah. And and, you know, we're orderly, and, you know, here's what we're doing. It was very transparent. No, I think the market broke after Trump started, you know, talking in his press conference and the like about Canada, and that, you know, they're not making an agreement, and we're going to impose lots on Canadian parts and cars and the like, and I think that's what broke the market. Because the rates rallied. Rate futures rallied.
They did, well, right after the it kind of dropped near the end of his press conference, but you're right, there was more noise because Trump was going to talk too, so it wasn't just him in the news at the time, so you can't really pin it on him. You are correct. Yeah, what is the deal with, well, whatever. I mean, that our guy seems to love all the dictators, and anybody who's a Democratic partner of ours, he thinks is screwing us. It's kind of just.
I don't get it.
I don't get that. So our two biggest enemies are now Trudeau and Merkel. Our two biggest allies are our two biggest enemies.
And the crazy thing about it is, you know, he talks. You know, oh, this is great, you know, we're winning the trade war. Really? Show some evidence. And, you know, demand for steel, and, you know, then look at the chart of U.S. steel. And billions are pouring into the coffers of the U.S. Really, where are they coming from?
Well, not to mention...
They're not coming from China.
Not to mention the $850 billion deficit after 11 months this year.
Yeah,
so where's all the money?
I mean, and again, I didn't vote for him, and, you know, maybe because I always vote independent, you say that I voted against him, but I really didn't vote for Hillary either. And so the question becomes, though, you know, I mean, just anyone with a brain, you know, knows that if you go into Dollar Tree and buy bamboo, you know, or paper plates from China, the tariff that's added to that, you know, is coming out of my pocket or your pocket, not from China.
Well, as my conservative fellow I talked to last week, what you just said, David, is all fake news.
Really?
As I mentioned to him, you know.
So China's writing checks on stuff they send us?
Fake news.
I'm just asking a question, rhetorically.
I mentioned to this fellow, I said, no, I don't really get that from the news media. Well, where do you get it? I said, I get it from, like, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they've been putting the stuff out for 100
years. Well, how about my pocket? I mean, literally, just, you know, probably 90% of the stuff in Dollar Tree or Dollar General comes from China. So if you go buy, you know, a package of paper plates or bamboo fans or whatever it is that says made in China, when you buy it for a dollar at the dollar store, and it's now a dollar and a quarter, are you paying the dollar, the quarter, to the federal government, or is China subsidizing that?
Probably a little bit of both. I bet.
Really?
Well, I mean, if when I used to do this in school, God, it's like, I wonder how long ago that was, David. That's why I've been, you know, adamant on the show. I'm very seldom get adamant about stuff, because you can't be adamant, because you might find out the next day you're wrong, or you learn something else from somebody else, and maybe you're not totally right. Amazing how that happens, huh? As you become an adult and admit it to yourself that you're not always right. Amazing how often you're not. But one thing I will say that is absolutely, I believe, to be absolutely correct, is every single item, and this is my concern with the administration, I don't know that they know the details. Every single item, David, has its own life. When I say its own life, say something simple. You're gonna celebrate something tonight and you don't have any shot glasses. You're going to go out to IKEA and you're going to buy 10 shot glasses, and they're a buck at IKEA, and they're all from China. Okay, so next week we put a 10% tariff on these things. All right, if there's no other shot glass maker in the world, which there may not be, I don't know, who the hell knows. I'm going to say
Mexico makes them.
Okay, you know. Well, now you're adding a wrinkle to it. But if there's none other, if there's none other in the world, I'm going to say next week that shot glass is going to be $1.09. You know. Or China, somebody in the manufacturer will say, I don't really want to go up 10%, so I'll sell it wholesale, I'll drop my price a penny, coming from China. Or IKEA might say, I don't want to go up 10% in 1 week, we'll eat.
So they'll eat part of it.
But now if there's shot glasses available from Korea, or we make them here, you might find that the price is $1.01, you know, or $1.02, because now China has to eat. I mean, cars is sort of a better example. I mean, there's a
But even if China eats it, is that Is that dropping money into the coffers of the federal government?
No, no. They get their dime. No matter what, they get their dime. That's what I, every place I go, David, be it a dinner, be it a library, be it a coffee shop, be it a bar, the one thing for sure is the government gets their dime.
No, I get it. Yeah,
but most people don't. I was talking to a guy last week. I go,
it's not a matter of fake news. It's what's real.
Yeah. Well, it's a tax on you. What do you mean? Who are you reading? CNBC? No, I'm telling you, it's a tax on you. If it filters back and somehow screws the Chinese guy as well, that may happen. Okay, to varying degrees with varying stuff, or they might get clever and they might ship the shot glass to Korea first and then to here, and we don't pay any, and there's nothing on it, but the sort of guy in China is still getting his full 50 cents or whatever. So I mean, every single one of these. I mean, take a Mercedes, for instance. Now, there's a luxury now. Some people just love their Mercedes, or some people don't like, whatever. But say there's a equilibrium price for a luxury American car, all right? And say there's a Lexus in there. And if you put a $10,000 tariff on a Mercedes, the dealer here is going to go, wait a minute, I can't go another 10 grand while I'm competing against the Cadillac. And there's going to be somebody that says, I don't care, I'll pay more for the Mercedes, and I don't care about the Cadillac. To me, they're not equivalent. Whatever. But let's say they're moderately equivalent at some level. I'm going to say the dealer eats $2,000, the guy in Germany eats $2,000, and the price goes up $6,000 or something along those lines.
No, I get what you're saying.
But the government is still going to get their $10,000.
Right.
And this is not hard to figure. So the guy was accusing me of.
But Mercedes. For the $2,000 that they eat, it's just coming off the proceeds from the dealership. They're not taking $2,000 off the price and sending a check to the federal government.
No, they're saying my normal wholesale price to the dealer here is $60. He sells it for $7. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah. And so the wholesale price to the dealer at $60. Mercedes only getting $58,000.
Yeah, they're going to say I got to eat $2,000 here because we got to stay competitive.
Right.
And the dealer maybe used to make $10,000.
So I get it. In the end, there's billions, you know, passed through to the federal government. But who's it coming from? It's not coming from the target. They may have to eat and cut their wholesale price, but it's not a check written to them, which would be the supreme penalty.
Well. What ends up happening is, and this people being the way they are, and I'm not criticizing, is if you and I got the Cadillac dealership, we're going to go, wait a minute, the price of Mercedes is up 5, we can inch the price of our Cadillac up 2, and we still gain 3. Okay, now theoretically, if that worked its way down to the guy in the plant making the Cadillac, you're going to up his salary from $21 to $22. I'm going to say that's a far-fetched reach, David. just say.
Although, in true candor, since my lease on my Lexus is up, you know, in November, and I only have one more payment, you know, left, I've shopped, you know, as a comparable, because Cadillacs tend to be less than Lexus. I've shopped Cadillac, and I've asked that question, and they said, oh, yeah, if Mercedes and Lexus go up because, you know, they're competitors of ours, you know, whether if everything other than maybe a few Mexican parts or Canadian parts, it's largely, you know, an American-made car, and we're going to inch our price up and increase our margins. They've admitted it.
Sure they are. Well, sure they are. That's the so we're helping Americans, we're helping GM, okay, but it's all coming out of your pocket. It's not like Trump's writing a check.
That Cadillac, should I choose that, you know, was going to cost me more, even
right,
though it's
okay.
The identical car.
I mean, if you listen to the complaints, I mean, you don't listen as much as I'm watching the CNBC sometimes during the day or Fox News or Bloomberg, mostly Bloomberg, but every person here that says from GM or someplace, our costs are going up. It's not that they're buying that much imported steel. The American guys have used the imports to raise their prices. They're
right.
Still buying it here.
Right.
But instead of, you know, $50 a ton, it's 58.
Right. No, I get it.
But this is I'm stunned.
And that's why the talk. I mean, Trump was on for an hour and a half.
Oh, God, I'm glad I missed it.
I mean, it was an hour and a half. I mean, he spoke for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I will say this, he sat through bunches and bunches of you know, questions on, you know, Supreme Court nominee and, you know, Rod Rosenstein and all that stuff, but the vast majority of it was a little bit on the Fed, but most of it was on trade and tariffs. And you talk about fake news. I mean, it's, you know, it's all great and steel's going wild and, you know, Americans are going to benefit in the long run and even farmers. And I'm sitting there and saying, I don't need to see any news report. I have to just listen to this guy and, you know, calculate, and it's baloney.
Well, sure it is. But he's also in a situation that is not of his making. David, is it we think as Americans, and I'm not saying that I don't vilify the dude. I don't. I honestly think he believes that if somehow or another there's been some dumping. It's not like these people haven't dumped.
No, of course. I'm surprised. As I said before, I'm surprised, you know, that he's more tolerant of Japan. I mean, they were the targets for 30, 40 years.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe they've slipped as far as steel exports to the U.S., but, I mean, my God, they were the biggest villains for decades and nothing was done.
Well, I mean, I should know the name of this process, but there's, and again, I'm no metallurgical guy, but when I was in school, there were essentially two ways to make steel. One was open hearth furnaces, which most of ours were, right, David? Because they dealt from the beginning of the last century. Very expensive. The interesting thing is they last forever. But as time went by, there was a better way to make steel cheaper. That all your steel plants in Europe, after the war, they were all wrecked. Other places, Japan, they were all wrecked. They all used this somewhat new process. One of these days I'm going to get somebody on here who knows more about this.
Cold rolled?
No, it's a way you actually make it, the heating. I should know the name for it, and I don't. But our guys never advanced to the, they never said, for the next 5 years, we're gonna suck up the dividends and so forth, and we're gonna put in these whole new system. I mean, what I'm getting to is, if somebody dumps because it actually costs them $20 a ton, and they sell it to you at 15, when I say cost, the iron and everything else that goes in it, and they sell it to you at 15, and they eat 5, just to put you out of business. Well, that's a dump. That's like if you and I get a plane and fly back and forth from Chicago to L.A., and United says on that particular route we're going to do it for $50. They're taking a loss just to put us out of business.
Right.
Now that's my definition of dumping. But now if Japan is just more efficient, and assuming they're paying people a reasonable amount, Japan probably does. I mean, they're just more efficient, and it just costs them less because they put in new furnaces and we didn't. That to me is not dumping. Is
no,
it?
I agree with that.
So I mean, there's these definitions, it can get very, the more you go to, so when Trump does something that, say, 40 years ago might have helped people out here, if you give a, I'll give you an example, everybody's electric bill just went up 8% or it's going up next month or something, I'm going to say that doesn't trickle down anywhere at Commonwealth Edison, David. I bet the dividend doesn't go up, and I'll bet with shareholders aren't going to participate, and I'll bet the guy running around with the meters, he doesn't get a dime either. So this idea that you pour money into these monopolies or conglomerates, that somehow it's helping everybody, I that's not what's going on these days. You see the market go up because obviously there's more money in the till for the place, but we're not doing much trickling, I don't think.
Yeah, and my only counter to that, and in general I agree, and I mean some of these things, like I told you, you know, health insurance, but I mean our water bills just in the last couple months have gone up like 30%. 30%. No difference in watering the lawn, no difference in number of showers, and all of a sudden the water bill goes up 30%. So I tend to agree with you, and I know this might hit a sore spot with you, but the only place, I mean, you know, dividends have gone up, but I mean, and I mean, the whole world isn't invested in stocks, but a percentage are. And so the only trickle down, I would say, to a major extent, is stock buybacks.
Well, and even that is, that's, in my mind, it's all because people have stock options at the firm. Otherwise, you would raise the dividend.
I mean, right.
The whole idea
I agree with that.
I'm going to go buy the stock back from Lou. Okay, and it's a return to shareholders I'm returning it to a guy who doesn't want to be a shareholder anymore, right? He's selling it to me. I'd rather give it to the, I mean, I, to me, I would always do a dividend, but I also know that if I went into a boardroom and suggested a dividend raise when everybody's got stock options, it's the last time I'm ever in a boardroom. I mean, right? Boy, talk about a fart in church.
Right.
I mean, anyway, but I think, you know, the market, I think, is going to stay steady, David. I mean, these guys, it's become the national monument. And for it to go down, if it does, when it does, not sure. I want to be protected, boy, but I don't know.
And I'm not going to sit here and say we're not going to, you know, that we won't have a recession at some time, whether it's 2020, 21, whenever, yield curve inverting, trade tariffs lasting far longer than one would anticipate, Fed getting ahead of itself, you know, though it's typically been behind. There's plenty of headwinds. That said, I really think, you look at the figures of these stock buybacks. You take a company like AutoZone, not the greatest managed company, and I mean, they're in a good spot because people are holding on to their cars longer and repairing themselves. And I don't own any AutoZone, by the way. But you know, reducing the float by 30% over the last 6 years, I mean, it's huge. Is that stock going to go down? I don't care whether they make money or not make money. There's just a lack of supply.
That's right. There's a lack of supply. And there aren't very many new companies coming out. I mean, it's not like we're having a banner year in new companies.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. They're dragging supply off the table constantly.
They make the same amount of money, and there's fewer shares outstanding. The earnings per share go up, even if the net dollars are the same or even lower, and that supports the price.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's reasons why you have equity, and there's reasons why you have debt on your balance sheet, and they constantly keep trading one for the other. I mean, every time the interest rates tick up, that becomes a little worse of a deal if you're actually borrowing money.
No question. Because your debt-to-equity ratios go up, and you know, theoretically the bonds go down, and then someone says, hey, look, if there's a real problem and this company doesn't earn any more money, are they going to be able to pay the debt? And the debt gets paid before the equity.
Well, but ask yourself, unless you... If PTI is huge one of these days, and all of a sudden we've got... We go out and we issue 10 billion shares. I will pick some really stupid number. Now, for some reason, like, we do that, all right? We issue the shares, and we get whatever, $2 a share. Hey, that'd be nice. What's that, $20 billion? So all of a sudden, we're doing well, and it's 10 years from now, and the stock's 25. Why do we want to start buying it back? Do we want to go private? No. I mean, what is the point? Is there some, if we thought $2 billion was the number today, 10 years, no, $2 billion is not the number we want to outstand. It's $1.8 billion. Well, why? I mean, what's the difference? If you want to give people money, you just declare a dividend, right?
Well, I think that, like what you pointed out before, if you hold stock options and you want the share price up and you want participation and you want liquidity and whatever, and, you know, you buy back the stock, the float's less, the price goes up, and you're rich.
Well, that's right. But that's where the outside board members are going to say, wait, are we doing this just to make you rich? Why don't we just give you a bonus and pay a dividend? I mean, if that's the game,
I get it.
You know, I mean, if that's the game, let's stop the game. I mean, but the same token, David, the other way, as I mentioned the other day, if PTI is now you know, Merrill Lynch, and I walk into the board or the top management and I say, guess what, guys, I'm giving the stocks at 100, I'm giving all you guys 90 bazillion stock options at $1.10. Or 110 instead of a raise this year, and everybody goes, here, chief, here. You know, the stock will be 120 a year from now. And I walk in the next board meeting and say, by the way, we're paying a $5 dividend. You might look at me going, hey, if you knew you were paying a dividend, this stock option ain't worth squat now.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, it kind of goes both ways.
Right.
I mean, but I mean, that's where the board comes in and says, what's our intention? You know, is our intention to reward people? Is our intention to make the stock price go up? Well, if the stock price go up, it should be easy enough to constantly adjust those options, stock options, based on a dividend. Where if you pay a $2 dividend, David, your stock option that used to be 110 is now 108, right?
Right. No, I get it.
It should be easy enough to do that. The math is not hard.
Right.
We should be able to subtract 2 from 110 and get 108, even in this day and age. So what do you think? Today we bounce back all the way or no?
it's such an erratic market, and the portfolio switching, you know, and index switching is so quick and so huge. I basically like the Russell on sell-offs because I think it's the most immune to trade tariffs and Fed policy, and I like the short side of Dow or diamonds on rallies because they're the most subject to Fed and trade. And I don't think that all of that stuff's been discounted in the market. So I think that's the way to be.
I've been vindicated in my XLE position. Not so yet in oil and silver. Am I ever going to get vindicated there, or am I going to get clunked upside down?
I haven't been a fan of silver for a while. The one thing that I, patting myself on the back a little bit, is I did say between 255 and 260 in copper to get long or some...
By the way, your rally in copper, your great call, silver has gone up with copper, so... Gold has not. David, thank you. S&P futures up 3. Dow futures up 17. Oil up 67 cents. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.